I am transfigured. Here we are for our breakfast conversation, or shall I say monologue. I live in my eternally perfect, ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am transfigured. I live in my eternally perfect, ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am transfigured. I live in my eternally perfect, ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am transfigured. These words are powerful, and they don't have to have any verbiage to go with them. They don't need any definition or any explanation. However, they are always open for thought about them, and consideration as to just how different people think about the words. Let's look at the idea. I express my original purity. Every one of us has an idea of what we are like in our original beingness, you know, what our original self is like. Every one of us has a general idea as to what that would be. But if we were asked to do it, we would be hard put to define it, what our original purity and integrity is, because anything that we can think about is based upon what we know already, how we look at ourselves, how we think about our life and our body and our experiences. And all of those ideas are very limited because they're human. Now, if we want to, and most people do, if you want to think of your body and your mind as human, then that's perfectly okay. You can aspire to human perfection. You can exercise your mind and use all your calisthenics of mental thinking to have your mind be brilliant and be alert and awake and alive with enthusiastic ideas, and in a human way of looking at it, that's quite exciting. We take these love stories and we read them and we passionate over them and we think, oh my, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a lover like that in our life? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a man or a woman like that in our life? Wow, that would be so exciting. And then we read the adventure stories of these people who travel and climb mountains and cross rivers and take special boats down the river, you know, in like the Colorado River, and go through these rapids and down these falls. And then you see movies of people doing very wonderful things, marvelous things, almost unbelievable. And you say, wow, wow, wow. And we look at the excitement of life. And we think that that's where it's at. That's just what's important. But think of what you do 24 hours of the day. 24 hours of the day, I would say the majority of your life, even those people who do exciting things, 24 hours of the day, the majority of their life is spent in repose. It's spent in their home. It's spent at their work, at their job. Of whatever it is they amuse themselves with during the day, thinking that they have to earn a living so that they can afford to live. And so the majority of life is spent in those rather mundane things, which are unexciting to to people, but really that's what life's all about. It's living a peaceful, harmonious, introspective life. And most people who do that, and that's most people, don't always appreciate that they're living a quiet, peaceful, introspective life. And they're listening to the inner call. They're listening to the inner peace. When they can feel a blissful moment, they say, wow. But they don't tell anybody about it because in their level of consciousness, that's not the thing to talk about. That's not the thing to share, this inner level of awareness. Only great blissful gurus and philosophers and people who are way out, you know, the people who live in ivory towers, they're the ones who talk about things like that. But in truth, every person goes through these wonderful experiences and knows these wonderful experiences because there's something bigger and better in us than we have ever allowed to come out. And when we say I live in my original purity, and integrity, we're drawing that out. We're at least drawing ourselves in. We're drawing ourselves in to be aware of what that is that's going on. And we may not know what it is. We may not even have any directions, or may not even think that we're getting any place, making any progress. But the very fact that we go within is perhaps the biggest step on our spiritual journey, or on our intuitive inside journey that we're following, that we could ever take. The biggest step. Because then, after that, you have leapt over the threshold of moving to your inner self, and then you begin to start to experience your inner self. And the thing about experiencing your inner self is that as you are aware of who you are inside, as you begin to be aware that you're a pretty nice person, you're a pretty wonderful being, that it becomes natural. And you don't consider it a big step. Although, if you could be objective and look at it, you say, wow, did I make a big step there? Did I make a big step there? Man, did I really move there? But you don't do that, because you're doing that introspectiveness. You're in there. You're enjoying your inner self. You're enjoying being with yourself. You enjoy being alone. You enjoy go walk in the mountains, walk in the hills, and you don't need a companion. You don't need a dog, you don't need a man or a woman, you don't need someone to share with, because then you're not listening inside yourself. And so you take your walk, or you sit down in your own chair, and you take a very fascinating novel about sex and all about excitement and travel, and you put it on your lap. Anyone comes in there, they think that you're reading, you know, and they don't disturb you. But if they think you're just sitting there sleeping or meditating, they think that you're open target, you know. You're open target to talk. But if you're reading a book, excuse me, I'm reading here now, you know, and then you just go on with you, and they'll allow you. And if you go to the bathroom, you know, you can sit on the toilet and leave the top down, because it's not good for you to sit on the toilet with the top open, with your bottom there. It's just not healthy for you to do that. So that's another subject. But the idea is put the seat down and sit on it. And if you're smart, now this is okay, if you're smart, you'll make sure you have a cushion in the bathroom somewhere that you can sit on the toilet seat, so you can have a very comfortable seat to sit on. Although sitting on hard seats, like sitting on a park bench or sitting on a stone someplace, you know, and don't think of it sitting on the toilet seat. You just think of sitting on the throne, which is the name that's often given to it. I think it's a very applicable name, because it's your throne room. It's your room where you can be alone and no one disturbs you. It's a wonderful thing and a wonderful place to be. Put a different attitude on it and say, this is my throne room. And you go in there with a totally different feeling, and you sit there. And you know you're not going to do your duty. You don't have to. You're already cleaned out. But you just sit there and you listen within, and nobody thinks a thing about it. My dad used to go into the bathroom, and we had several bathrooms in our house, and this one was downstairs just off the kitchen. And he'd go in there, and he'd take his newspapers in there. But he didn't fool us. We knew what he was doing. He was meditating. He was having time to himself. All day long, he was concerned with his building business. He built houses and mason contractor and so forth. And all day long, he was busy talking to people and telling his employees how to do this and that. When he came home in the evening, five kids and a wife that were concerned about saying hi to Pop and so forth. And he just had to get away for a little while. And he'd go in there for at least a half hour or better. And he'd sit there. He'd take the newspapers in so that we would think that he was reading the newspapers while he was just, you know, relaxing. And I knew better, you know. Because when he'd go fishing, sometimes he'd come home with four or five fish, which it takes about a minute to catch. And he was out there for hours. And you know he was meditating. You know he was introspecting, listening to the divine within. Now, he was a tough guy, but also gentle, you know. He knew what was going on inside of himself. Now, do we take time to walk our inner path? Do we take time to say, I express my Original purity and integrity. Do we take time to say that? I express my original purity and integrity. If we take the time to say that, we're going into our introspective self. Because what is our original integrity? Our original integrity is, may I use this word, oneness. Our original integrity is oneness as all. That's who we are. We are one as all the universe. We're one. We're not separate. We're one. We may be expressing as an individualization, but we are still one. The son is still a part of the father and the mother. The daughter is still an offspring, springing off from the parent. You see, we are all one. We are all one. And we have one Father. That's the divinity within us. We have one God Self. That's the divinity within us. And we are pure and beautiful beings. And so, as we say, I express my original purity and integrity, then we can say also, I am transfigured. I am transfigured. Try it. Try it. When you take your next walk, say, I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. We mentioned before, when you say that, you have to put your chin up. You have to stick your chest out and pull your tummy in, throw your shoulders back. You have to walk with confidence, with love, with respect for yourself. You have to feel magnificent. And you just sort of feel floating. You don't even realize you're walking on the ground. You don't even realize that there's a world around you. You're not looking at the buildings from the mountaintops, or you're not looking at the valleys. You're not looking at the mountaintops from the valleys. You're just floating from place to place. And as you float along, you say, I am transfigured. I am transfigured. Now, this is not to be superior to anyone else. This is merely to say what everyone is. Everyone is transfigured. Everyone does not have to remain the human symbol that they express. They don't have to do that. They can enter into that transfiguration. That's what Jesus showed us the way to do. Enter into the transfiguration of your divinity. He said, what I do, you will do also, but greater things than I've ever thought of doing, you'll do. And that's super. Now, when are we going to take the time to sit on the toilet as the throne and meditate? We have to be careful. There's several bathrooms in the house, so we don't monopolize one and keep people who might need it, you know, so they can always use the other one, you know. But it's a wonderful opportunity for a normal family, for a person to get away for a few minutes. Mommy, hurry up, bathroom. Go upstairs. You know? But the child does not have to go to the bathroom. The child wants attention. You see, if we understand why all these things come in our life, then we won't create the child needing our attention. We just say to the child, if such be so, now, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be a few moments. I like to sit quietly while I go to the bathroom, so please don't disturb me. If you need to go to the bathroom, the upstairs bathroom is there, or the other, whatever. But now, this is my quiet time. When I go to the bathroom, that's my quiet time. What I do there is my business, of course. You don't say that. But when I go to the bathroom, that's my quiet time. And they'll respect it. My mother had a quiet time from, what was it, noon, to, whenever we left for school after lunch, till about 3, or I think it was 3 o'clock. And she would go into her study on the back of the house. She had a study. And she would do her unity work, her religious science work, her Rosicrucian work. She'd do all of these things. She was just deeply into many things. And we didn't dare knock on her door. If we were hurt, we had to hold that hurt until she opened the door, and then we'd bellow, I'm hurt! she said, well, when did you do that? We didn't dare say, but we wanted her to kiss it and make it all good, you know. But that was her time, and she treasured it. In fact, she treasured it so much, she said to my dad, either I get time to be by myself and do what I want to do, or you can have the five kids and raise them yourself. And he didn't want to do that. So he respected her time. He made her this lovely study in the back of the house right next to the kitchen. He took the pantry and several other pieces of space and put a beautiful room out there. I worked for hours on that rubberized tile floor. It was little squares, which were maybe about an inch and a half on each side. And they got glued down. Then we had to sand them because they weren't perfect, you know. And we had to sand them so that they were smooth as silk. And, oh, the hours we spent sanding there. But Mother appreciated it. She enjoyed it so much that any effort we put in was not enough, but was wonderful. You see, when you say, I am transfigured, your mind not only goes to memories of transfiguration, you say, Herb, why do you go back into your life? These are perfect illustrations of people who determine to follow their inner path. Now, tomorrow I'll be talking about Kip. And I'll be talking about Kip following his inner path. He did pretty well. He was very introspective. And he and May helped start this organization. May was on the original board of directors. And Carol Ellsworth, another dear friend of ours, was on there, and Mark and I. And we had a wonderful activity. It went just perfect. They later were replaced on the board because they were not close enough to be helpful. And so that was changed. But always Kip was there. Always Kip came around. Always they came down to my activities. I won't say they moved to California because I was here, but they moved to California because I was here. And it just worked out that way, and they loved it. And I was privileged to help them find their first home and help them find their first business building and all their activities. And it was a wonderful experience. And though Kip has moved to his next dimension last Saturday, I'll never forget him as a wonderful treasure in my life. And he had his ups and downs and ins and outs like anyone else, but he was a wonderful treasure by and large. And this is the way we should create everyone in our world, as a wonderful treasure, because they're our creation, and we return to our original purity and integrity as we see the world in its highest and its best. So, if you would like to take this little game, and it is a game, and everything is a game, saying, I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. I am transfigured. This is my figure. And this figure is transfigured into whatever it is that my original purity and integrity is. And pretty soon, it might even be invisible. Or it might be visible. But what it is untouched by the universe in which it dwells. It stands up for principle at all times, but it is untouched by the emotions, by the attitudes, by the experiences, by the illnesses, by the health, because it is above all of that. I am transfigured. After I tell you what to say, let's say all together. You're so eager, and I understand why you're eager, and I think it's wonderful. I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. Together? I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. Again? I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. And once again, I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. And so it is. I love you.